Saber Salons episode of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, for anyone who listened to the last episode, you know that Rebecca and I were fortunate enough to go to the Saber craft beer and food pairing event in Washington, D.C. And that first episode we did, the one from last week, was all about the Saber event, how that went, a bunch of the beers that we tasted. And we promised for the next episode, which is this one, we're going to talk about the salons that we were fortunate enough to go to. Now, if you're saying salons, what the hell's a salon? It's basically a class. You know, it was like an hour-long course about whatever, and there are all these different topics. It is important to note right up front that if you want to listen to how any of these went, they were recorded. Every single one of them was recorded by Craft Beer Radio. So if you go to craftbeerradio.com and you just look for the Saber Salons, you can find all of them there recorded, so you can listen to, you know, whatever you want. And you can listen to the ones that we went to and think, wow, Carlin was in that one and Rebecca was in that one. Because we did go to two separate ones. Yeah. We wanted to maximize the content, you know.
I want to go back and listen to some of them because there were some really cool ones that we, you know, we couldn't obviously go to all of them, so.
The big downside to listening to them is that you probably will want to taste the beers, which would be my frustration. I'd listen and be like, oh.
Were there beers in all of them or were some of them just listening?
I think there were beers served in all of them. I think. I'm not 100% on that. But, I mean, there were beers served in mine. There were definitely beers served in yours. But that was mainly because of the content for yours and mine as well. But, so we're going to talk about how the salons went. And we're going to try three beers as well. And all three of these beers were at Saver in one way or another. We're not going to say what they are until we open them. And there are reasons for us doing each of them. So we'll talk about that as well as we go on. But let's go ahead and pop open the first beer. And then we can sip on that and I can talk about... I'll go first. I'll talk about the one that I went to. Mine actually was... I'll go ahead and let Rebecca open this up. Mine, as a teaser for after we get through this beer, was having to do with Ninkasi Brewing out of Eugene, Oregon. And it had to do with their space program, which, yes, they have a space program, which is weird to be like a brewery has a space program. And what they do is they send yeast, ale yeast, into space, and then they attempt to brew with it. So I'll break down some stuff about that. What beer do we have here?
So the first beer we have is by Brooklyn. It's the Sriracha Ace.
Which is a Saison style, done with Sriracha Ace hops, which I've had this beer. It's been a long time, though. It's been at least 3 years, I'd say, since I've had this beer. And back then, it was only in 22-ounce bottles, and right here, it's in 12 ounces, which is cool.
And it's 7.2% ABV.
Yeah. Very, right off the bat, very Saison-looking. You know, it's... yellowish, a little orange tinge to it, kind of hazy. You can't see straight through it. When you swirl it up, it's got a nice large white head to it. Looks very Saison-y.
Yes, it does, and it smells very Saison-y.
Oh, man, yeah.
It smells delicious.
Typical Saison yeast smell. A lot of lemon in there, lemon peel, a little coriander-ish smell in there.
Yeah.
Little banana aspect on the finish.
Just a little, though, and I don't like
it's
a lot of...
It's very slight.
Yeah, I don't like a lot of banana in the nose. It makes me feel nauseous.
There's a little bit of a grassy, like, fresh grassy green note in there as well. It smells very good.
I can't wait to drink this.
Very crisp, very clean smelling. Ooh, wow. I get a lot of that citrusy, like, lemon... Like, actually a little bit of the lemon fruit with the lemon peel in my first sip of it. And then on the end, I'm getting a lot of that, you know, Saison yeast flavor. And yes, that very slight bit of the banana-y note is in there.
Do you think you smell lemongrass?
Yes. Is that what's on the bottle?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I typically don't look for lemongrass or even think about what lemongrass is like until someone says it.
Well, there you go.
But, yeah.
It says
it's a good beer.
Pairs wonderfully with seafood, fresh cheeses, and more.
Yeah, and this is actually a beer that a lot of people talk about being outstanding for pairing with food in general. I hear that you can pair it with tons and tons of stuff. So, Yeah, I when I drink this, I really think I'd like it with something fresh, you know, like some light fresh meat, like a seafood based something, like some, I don't know, like some scallops, some nice like cornmeal crusted crispy scallops with some sort of risotto or something like that.
This is a good teaser into what my salon will be about when I do my
right. But first, let's talk about my salon. Unfortunately, we don't have any beers related to my salon to taste. Yeah. Because it has to do with Ninkasi. We can't get Ninkasi where we are. Yeah. So it was a treat to be able to have Ninkasi beers at Savor, because I've had them before, but it's usually when Rebecca's middle sister, Emily, who lives out in Oregon, has brought some home with her for me to try. And honestly, I don't think I've disliked any of their beers that I had. I can remember a few of them, and the ones I've had, they've all been good to really good. Anyway, so the Ninkasi Space Program, they basically, and by they, I mean one person. It was Jamie Floyd, who's one of the co-founders of Ninkasi. He actually started out by talking about, you know, how he got into beer originally, and that played into what we started drinking. And actually, first of all, I should backpedal just a little bit just to let you guys know. In the salon, I assumed when I went in there'd be like chairs set up, or it'd be like an auditorium style, whatever. I went into it and I was like, is this the right place? Because it was a nice dimly lit room lined with white leather couches with little glass tables out in front of certain areas of the couches.
Really?
Yeah, it was so like swanky nightclub feel. it's very nice, and they gave us Spieglau glasses. They're I think German made glasses. I'm just guessing from the name Spieglau. But it was nice, and they poured us a beer to start with.
So you didn't drink out of your Savor glass?
I actually did. I turned down the Spieglau glass because I would have loved to take it with me, but the issue is I had so much stuff I was already carrying.
You could keep it.
Yeah. Yeah, you could keep it. I mean, I wanted to, but
Carlin,
I don't have a purse or anything. I can't put...
But you had me. I had a purse.
I just didn't want to carry something else. Carlin. Sorry. Yeah.
You didn't tell me that.
But I had just asked to have all my stuff poured in my Savor glass, so they did. So we started out by them giving us, Lux, which is a German-style Helles Lager by Ninkasi. Very clean, very fresh-tasting beer. Very nice for that style. And Jamie Floyd, made the, explanation of why we were trying that is because, you know, that was one of his favorite styles growing up. When he first got into beer, he really liked German Helles-style lagers. So he really wanted to be able to make one at some point in his career that would be like a year-round good Helles Lager.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is. I mean, it's a good one. So if anyone can get Lux out there, L-U-X, definitely check it out if you like that style. Now, the other great thing is they had some cheese pairings available for us. They gave us little plates with, I think it was one piece of like Gouda cheese, actually like three pieces of Gouda cheese, and then a large piece of like a brie style cheese to eat with the Lux. And those went very well with the Lux. Very well. It was nice. So then he started talking about, you know, the brewery. He opened it up for questions before and after he got into, you know, doing his
full-on really interactive.
Talk. Yeah, it was extremely. And he's a very relaxed individual. And not only was he relaxed, but when he started talking about the space program stuff, he got so excited. Like, aww. You could just, the passion that he has for what he's doing was just oozing from, like, every word he was saying. It was really cool and awe-inspiring, honestly. And I talked to him about that after the fact. I was like, you know, this is really cool to see how passionate you are about that. And you're able to bring something else that you're passionate about into what you do for a living, which is obviously brewing beer. So when he was young, he actually wanted to be an astronaut. He really did. He wanted to be an astronaut, but obviously life did not take him that way. He's brewing beer. So he kind of, I guess, tried to think of, you know, what's a way to integrate this? And he thought, well, you know, what if we see if we can shoot off a rocket ourselves or with help from others?
Yeah, so how do you just get a rocket and, like, shoot yeast into space? Like,
there's a lot of coordination that he had to make with a bunch of organizations. I think he worked a little bit with the military too, actually, as far as like the tracking on the rocket went.
And like, how do you buy a rocket?
With money, with good money. I did write down, he did disclose, he said they did two launches, and between the two launches, they spent $80,000.
Oh my gosh.
For that situation there. Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah, but it's something you really wanted to do. And I will say up front, if you guys really want to see a cool video, he showed it to us. It's on YouTube. You can just look up Ninkasi Space Program, and there's a video of the launches. Like, they have videos of it, and they put a GoPro on the rocket, so you can watch the footage of the rocket going up into space, and it's just so cool, like, seeing footage from the rocket actually in space.
Huh.
Which I think it was, like, a Guinness record for, like, the first amateur video shot in space, something like that, so...
Pretty cutting edge.
Yeah, and just think about from the perspective of being someone who's been totally into space stuff all your life, and you wanted to be an astronaut, and then being able to do this. Being able to strap a GoPro to a rocket and then see the footage after the fact.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So he was then talking about like some of the challenges with it, and obviously the biggest challenges are the extreme heat of the re-entry of the rocket coming back down to Earth. And also just the extreme cold of being out in space when it actually would reach space.
How long is it up there?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure he said how long it was up there, but I don't remember. Because I was trying feverishly to like write as many notes as I could, but also drink some beer and eat some cheese and stuff.
And this was like towards the end of the night?
Oh, this was after we drank like all the beer.
I was so trying to read my notes, and I was like, I don't know if I was writing fast or I just had that big of a buzz because I could not read my handwriting.
Yeah, it was really hard to keep it together at times, like to focus, because I was just like, okay, I got to really like get these notes down. And they would come by and were trying to give me like extra beer. And I had to turn them down a few times. I was just like, I really got to focus. You know, I'm trying to take notes.
And in mine, I was looking around for the dump bucket, not because... the beer was bad, but for the same reason, I was like, I am already past my, where I should be.
Speaking of beer, the Sriracha Ace is very good.
I was just thinking the same thing. I am really enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm sipping on it, and like those lemony aspects are just so refreshing. I can see why this is a beer that goes really well with food. Like almost anything.
It's so easy to drink, but it's so full of flavor.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah, that's nice. But anyway, okay. back to the
space.
Ninkasi Space Program. So, initially, the first rocket they sent up held 16 vials of yeast. And what they had to do to account for, you know, the extreme cold of space and the extreme heat of the re-entry was put in dry ice. So they packed it in, and they partnered up with some company that, like, made, like, a special vest, like, a, yeah, special... Don't knock your God. Beer over. Almost did.
That would have been disastrous.
So they worked with some group who made up a special vessel for containing the yeast and insulating it as best as they could, and then they put dry ice in there for the yeast.
What a cool project to be like have collaborated on. Yeah. Like, hey, I collaborated with Ninkasi too.
But they also had to make sure that they left enough space in the vials because of the change in pressure and the change in gravity, the expansion of the yeast. So you didn't want it to bust the vials either. So it was crazy. So the first launch that they did, and actually the rocket, I wrote it down, the speed of the rocket was 3,580 miles per hour.
Holy cow.
That's crazy if you think about it. I mean, and you can watch the video on YouTube if you just look for it, and you can see how fast it just shoots off the ground when they launched it. And they did it out in the desert. I think it was in Arizona, I'm not sure. But I'm pretty sure he said where it was, but I didn't catch that part. So they shot the first one, but when it came back, when they eventually got it, it wasn't viable. The yeast was not viable because something went wrong with the tracking system on the rocket, and they couldn't track it when it came back. So they kept searching. I think it was out there for like 20 some days before they found it, and this is in over 100 degree heat, so they were pretty sure like whenever we find it the yeast's not going to be viable, and it wasn't. So back to the drawing board, you know. And he said it was rough, but then he was kind of like, look, you know, people didn't start with success, basically, from the get-go. Like, you learn as you go. So, they tried a second launch, and they actually did much better with their second launch. They got their rocket back immediately, and I wrote down how many vials. They had 6 vials in the second launch, and 4 of them were viable.
Oh, wow.
So, then from there, they were like, okay, well, it's been in space. We don't know what could have happened to it. So, they were even thinking that there could be mutations in the yeast from, like, the sun rays being as direct as they are. Because we have, you know, we have the ozone to cut down on how the sun hits us and everything else on Earth. So they were like, you know, there could be mutations from the sun rays. So they did testing on the yeast, and they were like, okay, looks good. But then they also had to do tasting trials. They needed to make beer with it and do tasting trials to make sure that it doesn't taste like crap. You know?
Yeah. Or that they have no idea.
Right. Like, you don't know. You don't know. This is the first time anyone shot yeast into space and then tried to use it. So they're pioneers in that aspect. They need to figure out what does it do to it, if anything. You know? So they figured out it's all good. So they decided to make a beer. And the beer they made is called Ground Control. And it's a stout, an imperial stout. And actually, there's extra information on their website about it. So I wanted to read the full stats. It's an imperial stout brewed with Oregon hazelnuts, star anise, cocoa nibs, and ale yeast sent in space, obviously. Which he did say the yeast that they used is a derivation from the yeast that Fuller's uses out of London. They do English ales. So this was actually just released in April. It's 10% alcohol by volume, 80 international bittering units. The malts they used were two-row pale, black, chocolate, Munich, crystal, honey, special roast, and peated. And the hops they used were Apollo, Bravo, and Comet.
Aww.
Isn't that appropriate? Right, right. And they were just in 22-ounce bottles. Wow. So, I mean, it's one thing when you pick up a beer in the liquor store and it's something like Ground Control. Like, it's got this kitsch to it where it's like, oh, the ale yeast has been in space. It's another thing to try it after you've heard the whole story. Yeah. From one of the people who shot it into space. And it was just like
there's so much brainchild behind it.
Yeah, so much work that went into it.
What did it taste like?
It was a nice stout. I actually wrote down some notes. Milk and dark chocolate with a little bit of a soy sauce aspect to it. A decent amount of hops. A good amount of, like, coffee aspect to it. I wasn't picking so much up on the hazelnuts because I was mainly picking up on, like, the chocolate notes and the hop notes, because it was a lot hoppier than I thought it would be, but in a good way.
And hazelnuts are really big in that area.
Yeah, they are. And it was good. I actually wrote down brutal battle rating, it would get a 5 on the show.
Okay.
Which, as you know, a 5 on the show is not to be trifled with. That's a good number. I mean, a beer we're like, yeah, that's a decent beer, is a 3.
Yeah.
So 5 is
outstanding.
2 steps higher. It was very nice.
So is this a beer that can be purchased?
Yes, it can.
Okay. And how much is it?
I don't know.
I'd be interested. Like, is it an arm and a leg?
I don't think it's astronomical. No, I really don't think so. But someone had asked a question during the salon if they were going to make this yeast available for other brewers.
Oh, that's interesting.
So they're actually thinking about it. And as far as I know, they're going to continue to shoot ale yeast into space and make more beers. The reason they chose an Imperial Stout for this go is because they wanted to make sure it would be with a beer that could age. So it could be around for a while. And, instead of just being like, okay, here's like a lager that was brewed with space yeast, you gotta drink it, you know, pretty fast. Soon. Otherwise, it's not gonna taste so hot. So there's that aspect. And it's opened some really cool doors for Jamie in particular. He was talking about that. They actually got to go to and serve this beer at the anniversary of the Apollo space mission celebration.
Oh, wow.
Which is so cool. And he did say that they've actually been invited to the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum for some events to serve the beer there as well. So I feel like it's just opening so much more up for him that has to do with his childhood dream of going to space. I just thought it was super cool and super interesting. And But then also, I also learned that he has all these other interesting things in their brewery, like They have a climbing wall in their brewery for whatever reason, just because he wants to. And they also have a recording studio where they let, like, local artists come in and record music. So it's cool because Jamie is doing what he wants to do. Like, he's got this business of a brewery, and he likes brewing beer. He's been brewing since he was 17, he said. And now he's just pulling in whatever else he wants to in some way.
Let's do this. Let's do this.
Yeah, and when you're successful, I guess that's what you can do. You can just be like, hmm. So I would say good beers, the Lux, the Ground Control, very good beers, and great hearing from and talking to Jamie Floyd. Super nice guy, very passionate about the whole project. I would really recommend that people look up the YouTube video. Just look for Ninkasi Space Program on YouTube. Very cool. So and they, listen on Craft Beer Radio to the salon.
They serve two beers during yours.
Yes, just okay. Those two. Oh, and they did have a piece of that really good chocolate that we liked.
Oh, yeah.
To go with the Ground Control. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, and after you had good. That, after you had that, it actually made the Ground Control, like, even richer and, like, more dark chocolatey. Really good. So, yeah. I enjoyed my salon, obviously. And I'm enjoying the Sriracha
I already, like, drank mine, went back for more, drank it.
Well, I was talking.
You were talking, so I needed to do something.
I need to rinse my glass, because let's move to the next one before you start talking.
I feel like I could start talking, though.
Well, tell us what yours was called. Yeah. And okay. that'll then make it so we can tell people why we chose Sriracha Ace as the first beer.
Yeah. What was mine? It was called Beer Dinner Epiphanies.
Yes. So about craft beer with
and food and how to host a beer dinner.
Yes.
And we selected the Sriracha Ace because it's the quintessential beer pairing beer.
From what we've been told. And we didn't get a chance to try it while we were there because Brooklyn did bring it to Sabre, but we did not get to Brooklyn's table. So I was like, oh, Sriracha Ace was there. Let's pick up Sriracha Ace and do that. It'll tie in. But the next beer that we're going to do, I'll go ahead and open up. Rebecca, would you like to tell us what this one is?
It is Sam Adams Rebel Rouser Double IPA.
Yep. And why did we pick this one?
Because, I don't know, because I had it and I really liked it.
You did enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I also think, like, at least me personally, I kind of think of Sam Adams and I'm like, they probably do okay things. But I had this and I was extremely impressed. I thought it was very good.
Well, you need to listen to the episode that we had where we talked about the Sam Adams perception issue where people are like, oh, yeah, it's just Sam Adams. But no, like we talked about in the last episode, one of my favorite beers there was the Cosmic Motherfunk. That was amazing. That was like my number like two beer.
Every time you say that, I think you're going to swear.
It's close. Well, I'll just call it KMF. That's what they call it for short.
Oh my gosh, it smells like pineapple.
It looks very much like your typical Imperial IPA. It's very orange, very deep orange to it. It's got a white head when you swirl it up.
It is like,
ooh, gosh,
pineapple.
It's very, very, very pineapple-y.
Like just juicy pineapple.
Super, super juicy on the nose. It's got a little bit of that that I get from real hoppy beer sometimes, like a citrusy, Smarties, sugary note on the nose, which is nice. I'm not smelling much of any bitterness on it either.
I just get all pineapple. Just smells so good.
I actually, when we had it at Sabre, we tried it there, and I had Rebecca ask them what hops were in it, because they said it's like 7 different hops or something
that go into it. Like that.
Yeah, and I was like, I feel like I get some sort of like mosaic profile out of there. And she asked, and she was like, no, it's not mosaic. And then I was like, did they say Centennial and Simcoe? And she was like, yes. And I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe that's what I'm getting is the combination of Centennial and Simcoe.
And this is a kosher beer.
Oh, good. That's awesome.
Did you say it was the ABV?
No, I did not.
8.4.
Ooh. When I try it, it's interesting. I get a lot of grapefruit peel aspect, but it's a little sugary, too, on the way it's playing.
I really like this beer.
I've heard some people talk some crap about it, honestly. I don't think that's very warranted. I don't.
Why?
I
what, this, are they, what do they
I
say?
I think it's a nice beer. I can't even remember just people saying, oh, I don't like it. I feel like it's just not good.
I mean,
good.
I guess my only criticism is it's a... when it depends on your taste. I shouldn't say criticism.
Want a little more body to it?
No, I was going to say that the finish is a little more bitter than I like personally. But I like this beer.
Yeah, which is like that grapefruit peel. Just,
not my taste, but I like it.
It's decently bitter on the end, like grapefruit peel, but up front you get a decent amount of like a grapefruit flavor. I get a little bit of like a tangerine aspect in there too.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of like a peachiness.
Okay. I'm going to let you keep drinking and tasting and I'm going to start
talking. By all means, go ahead.
Yeah, so I went through the beer and food pairing.
Beer and poo pairing?
That's not good. Oh, it was gross. No, beer and food pairing. It was a little bit different than what I thought. But kind of looking back, I realized, I guess they kind of did as good of a job as they could have, because basically, just like with anything, it's subjective. You know? Like, what is a good pairing to one person is going to be not a good pairing to someone else.
So, potentially.
Right. So it was hosted by a representative from Schmaltz, Jeremy Cohen, and someone from Society Brewing, Doug Constantiner, I think. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm sorry. I probably butchered it. So I had four beers and four little things of food. They were recommending that initially, if you're having a beer dinner, to have some sort of welcome beer, which we didn't have because they said we had been drinking all night, which was true.
Oh, well, in mine, we had the welcome beer, though.
Yeah.
The Lux. So they did it right in ours and not yours.
Yeah. So our first pairing was Humboldt Fall Cheese.
The Bee's Knees.
Yes, which is so delicious good. If you haven't had it. And they paired that with Society's The Harlot, which is a Belgian extra ale.
Yeah, not familiar with what that means.
I have no idea what that is.
Did it taste just like a Belgian triple or something? Or like a double, quad? I don't know. I don't know what the extra means.
I don't know what all of that means, Carlin. I know it tasted good.
Oh, it was good. Okay. Was it very Belgian-y? That had
I hate banana in my beer. So I remember it did not have banana, but it did. It was very light. And it paired very well with the cheese. I do remember that. I don't think I wrote any other tasting notes. Like I said, my notes are a little either not legible or I wrote down really weird things, such as funny. Like I wrote down, Doug told a funny joke with a selfie stick at the White House. And I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, she was going through her notes before recording and she read that to me. And I said, do you remember the joke? And she's like, absolutely not. I have no idea what that's referring to.
But I wrote down that it was funny.
Well, like, at least you know you laughed at some point.
I don't know what was going on.
I will say real quick, as I'm sitting here and just drinking more and more of the Rebel Rouser, I can see maybe where some people have been turned off from this beer, because as you keep drinking it, the bitterness gets more exponential in its lingering aspect on your tongue. So it's starting to take over some of the nicer flavors a little bit. Mm. So I can see that. It's still decent.
And that'll be interesting, because obviously I didn't pick up on that when I just had it at Savor. So I did write, going back to my notes, it was a bit floral, yeasty, very nice, and easy to drink. And then I said, wow, great pairing with the Humboldt Fog. But honestly, I think you could pair Humboldt Fog with anything.
Pretty much,
yeah. And it would taste amazing.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's such a mild cheese.
Yeah. So that was the first pairing. Then the second one we had by Schmaltz. It was called She Brew. It was a triple IPA. And that, I know I wrote down the ABV because it was ridiculously high.
Yeah, triples are typically
11.8.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
Yeah, so they didn't initially say that when you have a beer dinner or beer event, you know, to taste a lower ABV to higher ABV, but then they said they kind of threw that out the window with this. So again, it's like there are a lot of like loose rules, but it's kind of like whatever goes, like whatever you feel like, whatever. And they really emphasized just tasting and writing down tasting notes and trying different things. And trying to pair the beer with the food, because you can change the food, but you can't change the beer.
So it sounds like you're kind of negating the salon By just being we're having the salon to tell you what to do for a successful craft beer dinner. But honestly, anything goes, so you can figure it out yourself.
Yeah, it was kind of, and that's, you know, that's kind of how I felt leaving. I was like, I didn't really learn anything.
Yeah, because they'd say, well, you could do this, but it might not work for you.
Well, and then they said, you know, you could do something that are complementing flavors, but you could do contrasting flavors. So there, you know, you might want to enhance something, but you might want to minimize it. So with this, with the triple IPA, they paired curried root vegetable with that had harissa oil on it, which was something spicy. So with a spice like that, something like an IPA can kind of help bring that heat down, which could be good for some people, but not good for others.
Which I know beer in general is very good at bringing down capsaicin, which is the hot aspect of, you know, peppers and stuff like that. So beer is great for hot stuff.
Yeah.
Wings and all that.
So that was pretty much that one. And then the next pairing was a chili and coffee-rubbed hanger steak with confit potatoes.
That sounds really good.
It was really good. All the food was very good. And that was paired with the Society's Pugilist. It's a dry stout, and it won a silver medal at GABF.
Oh, God. Great American Beer
Festival. I'm really not drunk, listeners. And I don't have any tasting notes about that one, but something they brought up was a beer that's really, really hot, has a high carbonation is good to pair with something really fatty.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
And anything that has a lot of acid or salinity is always going to be paired better with a beer than a wine. And they weren't like bashing wine pairings, but they were just pointing out that there are so many more complex flavors and different opportunities for beers to be paired with food rather than wine.
Yeah. Well, and I think I've said it on the podcast before. If you think about it, wine, all you have is grapes. That's all you have. And you can mix grapes for like blends, but all you have is grapes. With beer, you have so many ingredients you can use and it complements.
That was one of the things they said too, is find out what's in the beer and talk to your local brewer. Like, Doug from Society was like, I would love if people would come to me and, you know, kind of ask me questions about what's in it and what I think might be paired with it. Like, people love to talk about what they've made and their product. And I was like, I don't know how well that would go over, but I guess maybe some people would take to that.
I don't know. Try just shooting out emails to breweries and be like, hey, I want to drink this beer of yours. What would you say we should pair with it?
So I thought that'd
be a fun experiment.
Yeah. But obviously, like, I think one of the big take-home messages was it's definitely not like wine. Like, think about wine and it's like, okay, white pairs well with fishes, seafood, etc., light flavors, and then a red wine is going to be more with meat and heavy flavors, and it is not like that with beer at all.
Yeah.
You want to taste our last beer?
Oh, does it have anything to do with your salon?
So the last beer that
that's what you're able to take from it.
I have other things
too. The main meat of it was basically you actually tasting and getting to do the hands-on portion of it.
Yeah, I mean, I took a lot of notes. Like, I think the brewers from Schmaltz and Society talked a lot about the specific beer. So it kind of was a platform for them to talk about the beer and how they liked that particular pairing. It was very subjective. And I think it was hard, too, because some of the beers I was like, I don't really like the beer, but I like the food. So for me, it wasn't a fantastic pairing. But again, just with anything, I thought one of the other interesting points was a good pairing is always going to be 1 + 1 = 5.
What? I don't understand that.
Meaning you have two things that by themselves are just okay, but you put them together and you get something that's just phenomenal. So 1 + 1 = 5.
I still don't understand it.
What do you mean?
Is it just that 1 + 1 should be 2, but
it's so phenomenal, it's 5.
Oh, okay. Okay. I feel like they could have come up with something better than that.
Oh, maybe kinda, I just thought it was like so like phenomenal because I had been drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. I was like, whoa, genius.
So, but after the fact, you went and downloaded something.
Yeah, so they did, and they Julia Hertz was there. I'm not sure exactly what her role is, but I know she helped write on craftbeer.com. There's a beer and food pairing guide that you can download for free, and it is extremely expansive with lots of different beers, what type of glass it should be served in, what temperature, a lot about the brewing process. Mm-hmm. And then at the bottom, there's a component on beer and food pairing, and kind of goes a little bit into more specifics. So that's kind of neat.
And it sounded to me, when I talked to you after your salon, when we met up after our salons, because they were at the same time, I remember you saying something to the effect of, Julia was trying to get information out there and like really make it educational, and it seemed like the brewers were just trying to screw around and have fun.
Well, I wouldn't say screw around, but they were definitely more just kind of like shooting the shit, like talking about their beer, talking about the food and how great it was, talking about how they like to pair things. And I think Julia was a little more like trying to get back to things. And at the end, you know, she did emphasize ideally, you know, having a cheese or a salad and then a main course and a dessert. And she gave some examples, like lighter colored beers are always going to be good with a salad. She was saying something with like a butter lettuce or nuts would be a good type of salad. And then really, you know, it was that really emphasizing what is finding out what's in that beer and then basing your food and your menu around that beer. Cool. So.
Well, you need to finish your Rebel Rouser.
I do.
And then we can go to this final beer. So those were our salons, basically. Those are the rundowns of what we were able to do. Obviously, the one that Rebecca was able to go to was more of a fun, extra beer, extra food, hands-on type salon. And mine was more of a educational, this is kind of cool stuff type salon. And they have a bunch of different types of salons there, so they range. So it'll be interesting to see what next year is, and I, once again, would highly recommend people go to Savor if they have the ability to. So the final beer, which I'll start getting ready here, is one that was involved in Rebecca's salon. It's by Schmaltz Brewing, and it is their Bock Bock, which is a Doppelbock, which is a form of lager. And they have a normal Bock Bock, but this one was actually, and the bottle we have, is a special version of the Bock Bock, which is their bourbon barrel aged Doppelbock.
And that's the exact one that we had in my salon. I did write down that it was bourbon barrel aged, so.
And I remember
that was good of me.
You had saved some of it at the end so that when you met up with me, I could try it because you were quite happy with the beer.
That was so
and I remember it tasting bourbon-y.
That was so sweet of me.
It was. It's like you're a great wife or something.
I know. But in my salon, that this Bock Bock was paired with a French toast pound cake with apricot.
That sounds good.
It was so good.
This is 9.2% ABV, by the way.
I do remember that.
Or do you not remember that?
I vaguely remember that.
This very much looks like what I'm used to seeing out of a Doppelbock. It's very brown in coloration, a little bit of a reddish hue to it. You can almost see through it. You can kind of see through it, though. Not hazy, I'll just say that much.
Yeah.
Okay. So swirling it up.
It's just
oaky, vanilla-y, caramel-y, raisin-y, high alcohol. A little bit of that bourbon sweetness in there.
I feel like this would be so good paired with like a bread pudding.
Yes, definitely. Bread pudding would be very good with this.
Like warm bread pudding, a little vanilla ice cream, and then caramel sauce on top.
I was actually going to say, for me, even just a bowl of vanilla ice cream would be very nice.
No, I need something else.
Well, I wouldn't. I could also see this being good with peach cobbler, maybe, or some warm apple pie.
Something like with that cinnamon, oatmeal, that warm.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, I need to.
Okay, so tasting it, definitely get the bourbon up front. The bourbon is very, very present. It hits you with that bourbony sweetness, and a little bit of the alcohol to go with it, but it's nice. It's not too much, and it backs off kind of quick. Very brown sugary.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not as a full-bodied beer as much as you think you get on the nose.
Right.
Like, it's a little more of a thinner mouthfeel.
It is, but there, it's got a little bit of a viscosity, and then it just kind of, like, melts off your palate. Yeah,
it fades away.
It's got some vanilla notes in there. It's got some of the, what else? Like, a little bit of an oaky aspect, a little of the wood from bourbon. Raisiny, obviously, because the ABV's on the higher end. And I get a little bit of some perceptible hops in there. Very slight on the end.
I just love that. I feel like I could drink this whole bottle. Mm. I feel like you do not taste that 9% all that much.
The brown sugar notes mixing in with the bourbon is what really sells it for me. That's what I like so much. And then the vanilla kind of peeking through.
It's nice. Strong, strong vanilla finish.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like the vanilla flavors just, like, coat my tongue. Mm.
That's a nice beer.
I liked it then, and I like it now.
Makes me want some marshmallows.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. Like a s'more.
Yeah. Oh, man. This with a s'more. Ooh.
Like with a graham cracker and... Mm.
Yeah. It would be pretty awesome. Well, there you have it. Those are the beers we did. The Sriracha Ace, the Rebel Rouser, and the Bok Bok. If you rank them, favorite to least favorite...
This is a tough one because I really like all of them.
Yeah, I really like them as well.
I'm going to have to go Bok Bok, Sriracha Ace, Rebel Rouser.
Mm. Okay, I like all of them. But I think I would go Sriracha Ace, Bok Bok, Rebel Rouser.
Really?
I feel like that Sriracha Ace really blew me away. As far as being a Saison, there's so much flavor there, mm-hmm. and it's so... easy to drink at the same time.
Yeah. It's very, very, very easy to drink.
It was a hard decision between that and the Bok Bok, but I feel like there's a little more finesse in the Sriracha Ace, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, I think you pair all these with food, obviously. I think you pair every beer with food.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Well, this was a fun episode.
Yeah, and these are three really good beers.
Yeah, yeah. And it concludes our Savor episodes.
I know, I'm so sad. I can't wait till next year.
Yeah, Savor, if you'll have us back next year with some press badges, please.
Yeah.
We'll do the same thing. We'll do two more shows and, you know, a review and a salon. So hopefully there will be some exciting stuff coming out of what we did at Savor. Handed out a lot of cards for the show. Ask breweries if they want to go ahead and send beers into the show. So we'll see if anything starts trickling in. I do know a few breweries who have said they are interested in sending beers, but we'll see if they do, because we've had ones in the past who said they would and they don't. And the opposite, we've had ones that have not said they're going to and they just send. So we'll see what comes in, and it'll be a surprise to me for sure, because Rebecca will be the one to unbox everything and hide it. So... and if anyone from a brewery or knows a brewer's out there wants to send some stuff in, let us know. And if you just want to interact with the podcast in general, send email to brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com.
You can always send me email and just make sure that it's attention to Rebecca. And I can find your beers and slide them into Carlin if you want him to taste them.
So what I would say from this episode, the best way to end it would be, go check out the YouTube video about the Ninkasi Space Program, listeners. Then go download that guide for beer and food pairings from craftbeer.com. And then listen to some more episodes of Brutal Battle.
I think that sounds really good. And go get Humboldt Fog.
Yeah, get Humboldt Fog cheese too.
And I think that would go with the Sriracha Ace.
And then go host yourself a craft beer dinner.
Man.
Or launcher. Brunch, breakfast, whatever.
You could do anything. Dessert.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Well, thanks so much, everyone, for listening. Thanks, Rebecca, for being here.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Savor, for having us.
Thank you, Savor. You put on a phenomenal event.
Thank you. And until next time.
Keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.